Pay close attention. The topic that I have chosen is taken from the book of Timothy, and these are the words of Apostle Paul. And the King James reads a little different, but I have the American Standard Version here before me. And this is how it reads. And Paul is telling Timothy, I think the reason is Paul felt that his time was getting short. And here's young Timothy that knows the truth well from his grandmother. And possibly he's the one that would be able to go and visit these classes that Paul used to go and visit. And so he's preparing young Timothy for some work ahead. And he says this to Timothy, pay close attention to yourself and to your teaching. Persevere in these things. For as you do this, you will ensure salvation both for yourself and for those who hear you. Now, those are good words. And do you ever think that maybe it applies to us from time to time? Can we get a lesson from that? Should we pay attention to some of the writings of the Scriptures? Are they important to us? And Apostle Paul uses the word to Timothy, the word doctrine here. And the word doctrine, brethren, is familiar to all of us. Because it simply means it's a teaching, it's an instruction, that which is taught. But we realize that the Christian doctrine is a frame, which we are concerned with this afternoon here. I believe that the Christian doctrine is the sum total of all that we as Bible students know and speak as the truth. These doctrines, they summarize the principal tenets of our faith. We all know that what some of these doctrines are, and I believe this is what Apostle Paul is trying to tell Timothy to be aware of it. We realize it's been told to us how wonderful a supreme creator we have. He's a wonderful creator. Did you ever think of the greatness of Jehovah God? How great is he? How great is he? He knows every hair in our head. He knows every individual that ever lived and died. He knows all the stars. He gave them names. To you and to me, it's mind-boggling, isn't it? The greatness of our Heavenly Father. Psalmist David talks about him in Psalms 145 chapter, 145th chapter. These truths that the Apostle Paul has been talking about to Timothy and to us, we find that the Bible tells us the creation of man, mentioned this morning, creation of man in God's image. We've seen the fall. We read the condemnation. We talk about the covenants, don't we? We talk about the ransom. We talk about the sin offering. We talked about justification. Justification by faith. We talk about the call of the church. We talk about the second presence of our Lord. And we talk about the day of vengeance. We often talk about the great company, the restitution, the restoration of all things. Something that's quite familiar, if you had a chance to ever look at it, when you go to your concordance and you look up the word restitution, and you look up the word resurrection, and you go to the Greek lexicon, and it comes from the same root word. To be brought back to its original state. To be brought back to its original state. And so as we study the Bible, as we study these doctrines, and they're found from cover to cover, and we add all this together, and what do we call it? Thy word is truth, is what we call it. All doctrines are important. Well, our Lord considered them important. Most of his first 30 years of his life was spent in consideration, in study, in absorption of God's instruction. He spent his last 3.5 years of his life teaching, preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And in this instruction to his disciples and to us, he employed many parables. Some of you who would like to study the parable of our Lord, if it's still available on the book table, there's a book called The Parables of Our Lord. Many classes use them as study material. Some of the parables that we talk about is found in Matthew, the 7th chapter, and verse 24 to 28. And this is how it reads. He says, whoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house. And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. Now that's a good parable. It's a good teaching. And then he continues on to say, he says, everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain came, descended unto the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, at his teaching. Question, what did Jesus say? Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken unto a wise man. How can we do them if we don't hear them and if we don't know them? We find that the apostles considered the teachings, the doctrines, to be very important as well. The Apostle Paul warned the church against being blown about with every wind of doctrine. And he pointed out that especially at the end of the age, there would come seducing teachers. And since he cautions us against false doctrines, he does clearly amplify the importance of true doctrines. We find it down through the centuries of the gospel age. It seems to me that probably there were a few saints developed, for the true teachings of the Bible were smothered and choked under weeds of error. Brethren, error does not justify, and error does not sanctify. It is our privilege, brethren, to be living during the period of the Lord's bright shining, when he has sent meat in due season. It's a time when we have learned the truth of the apostle's statement that all scripture is given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions of righteousness, This is what Paul wrote to Timothy also, this scripture. Why? That the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Sometimes we hear it said concerning the Christian life that faith is the most important element, pointing out what Paul said, that without faith it is impossible to please him. That's true. This is true. But we cannot rule out faith. It is important. What is faith? The ability to believe what God says he will do. That's what faith is, in simple terms. The ability to believe what God said he will do. And that's what happened to Abraham. He believed God. And then you'll have others say that, well, no, that's not faith, it's important, it's love. Others will say it's character development, or what we should primarily strive for. And these point out that very well that Solomon tells us that love is the principal thing, yeah, sure. While still others will tell us that the service that is most pleasing thing to the Lord is what's quoted by James, faith without works is dead. I think the fact is, brethren, as we all so very well know, that all of these are separate, but they're essential qualities of a Christian who is striving to reach the full stature of a man in Christ Jesus. And naturally, we cannot leave out faith is important as well. Also, we cannot omit the works of grace and service. And the footstep follower of the Lord must truly be moved by love. I believe that you all know what the divine attributes of Jehovah God is. If you asked the JW that, he would know. It's sad. They believe they're God's people, they're Jehovah's people, but they do not understand the attributes of Jehovah God. Someday, if you have the opportunity, brethren, you want to study something in class that's different, write this down for yourself. What is the difference between knowing Jehovah God and knowing Him? What's the difference? What's the difference in knowing something about Jesus Christ and knowing Him? There's a big difference. You can spend hours discussing it. We believe, dear friends, that the doctrine of the truth is a basic and a fundamental that we should be able to rest on. For it is the truth, the teachings of the Bible, of God's Word directed by the Holy Spirit, that reveals to us the wonderful plan of salvation, the glorious character of our Heavenly Father that provides the basis for the faith that admonishes us to grow in the image of our Lord, that instructs us in our sacrificial service to the Lord, the truth, and the brethren. This is a doctrine, this is a teaching, brethren, that keeps alive. It keeps us bright and shining in our hearts, the glorious hope of being with the Lord. You can ask yourself a question, what do these doctrines do for us? What do they do for us? If taken separately as a whole, they enhance, they magnify our understanding. It magnifies our reverence, our appreciation of the Heavenly Father, very much. We appreciate His wisdom. It is manifest in His plans and purposes for all men. Do you ever think how wonderful our Heavenly Father was in the very beginning to think of so many things to be able to be brought forth before man was created? He created the sun. You know what else he did? I mentioned this once before. Our Heavenly Father was a chemist. Still is, probably. But he made water. Water. The essential element that we have in the world today. I heard on the news here not very long ago, one of your ministers of health mentioned in America, there's going to be a time not too long that in Europe there's going to be a shortage of fresh drinking water. It's hard to believe that that could happen, but it's true. Your people here in Canada as well as the United States, they tell you how many days of food they have on supply. Did you hear that one? Listen to them. You're getting to the point there's going to be a shortage of food. And then you have these people that tell you how terrible global warming is. And if you get rid of fossil fuel, what happens? I can just imagine you buying a donkey and going out to the field and going to plant wheat. Food is essential. Yes, I know global warming is terrible, but how are you going to feed the world without fossil fuel? The Lord can answer that. Mankind has passed through a stage many a time. We've had dinosaurs here. Were you worried about them? Was anybody worried about dinosaurs disappearing? All of a sudden we're worried about polar bears disappearing. Oh, that poor little furry animal. They're talking about going out and feeding them every December. But you know, all these things that are happening, you know what points to? We're getting closer and closer where God is going to establish a righteous government. There will be a kingdom. And you think about that theme discourse that we're going to hear tomorrow. The desire of all nations shall come. Yes, it will come. What is the desire of all the refugees that you've read about or you've seen on television? What were they looking for? A better life, peace, health. That's what the world needs. And so these doctrines, brethren, are essential to us. If we take these doctrines separately as a whole, they do enhance and they magnify our understanding. It magnifies our reverence for our Heavenly Father, our appreciation of His greatness. And what I mean by that, I appreciate His greatness because He gave up His Son to die on behalf of us. In behalf of Adam. And we see God's wisdom is manifest in His plans and purposes for all mankind. And His justice is shown not just in condemnation of disobedient Father Adam, but His love is indicated in the provision of His only begotten Son as a Redeemer for the fallen race. We see our Heavenly Father's power is revealed in the resurrection of the dead. Wonderful doctrine, resurrection. All the wonderful qualities of the Creator are set forth in the doctrines. And how an understanding of these doctrines increases our love, brethren, increases our love and our reverence for the Heavenly Father because of His greatness. As one of us may see God's love and mercy and justice and His faith in Him, it enlarges us because He is drawn little by little to the Lord. We've all been there. We're drawn little by little until the last He is led to offer Himself to the Lord. And we've done that in the past. All who have accepted of the Lord, what does He do? He justifies. They are begotten of the Holy Spirit to sonship, to a new nature. All this, brethren, by the teachings of the Bible, all the scriptures, the doctrines of His own will, James says, He begot us with the word of truth. You may ask, what is the word of truth? It is the sum total of all God's teachings. As the truth opens up to all its beauty through the Spirit with begotten eyes of the new creature, the process of sanctification is begun in the beholder. That's why our Lord said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. And so how basic is that principle? It's very basic. Consider the doctrine of the ransom. What do we find in it? Paul wrote to Timothy. He talked about the ransom. The beauty of which Paul so clearly sets forth when he shows that as by one man's disobedience, yes, many were made sinners, and so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. What does that do to you and to me? It stirs our appreciation of the Heavenly Father's wisdom, His justice, the laying down of a life and sacrifice by Him who was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners on behalf of the sinful, condemned world of mankind. Many of you have a computer. I don't know if you had the privilege of looking up statistics. Statistics of how many religions are there in the world? Over 4,000 religions in the world. Which one do you prefer? You know, that Satan is so wise. You know what he does? Well, if you don't like this religion, you can go this one or this one or this one. Go all the way down the line. And he says, I'll tell you what, if you don't like any one of those, I'll give you a brand new one. It's called the Church of Satan. A number of years ago, it started in California. And it's down in Europe. It's gaining popularity. But you know, when we see all this, it excites us. It increases our love for our Heavenly Father, is what it does. How great He is. How it constrains us to walk sacrificially in our Son's steps, bearing His reproach, sharing His sufferings that we, like Him, might be made perfect through suffering. The long-held, long-awaited second presence, which the apostles and disciples at the beginning of the age were longing for. I think their thought was arrived, the fact that it strengthened them out, it straightened them out, the fact that by referring to these doctrines, you finally realize the harvest of the gospel age was something that was important. The presence of the chief reaper was important to you and to me, and how that knowledge that was given to us by some of our devoted brethren, like Brother Russell. And that knowledge that we received, it stimulates our hearts. It stimulates us to labor together with Him in the reaping work while it is yet called day. We don't know what can happen tomorrow. We were talking at lunchtime, wondering who your next president is going to be. It's interesting. It's interesting how things can change in the world. And you and I have a hope of the establishment of a wonderful kingdom when sickness, sorrow, sin, and death will be abolished. And everlasting happy life will be the lot of all the willing and obedient. We're looking forward to that day. How the understanding of that grand event persuades us to have patient endurance and to walk this narrow way. The promise of restoration for the whole world, as you have your theme text here. And the blessings of all the families of the earth. It spurs us unto sacrifice. We want to be part of it. And I believe, brethren, it is in this way, by our gaining the proper comprehension of all these precious truths, it is this doctrine that fires us. It infuses us with the desire and determination to take our cross and follow in the steps of our Master, in a sure knowledge that we will suffer with him now. We shall indeed be glorified together with him and reign with him later. The power and the force of the beauty of these teachings, brethren, it fills our hearts. I'm sure it filled Timothy's heart. It fills our hearts and controls our thinking. But not only that, it shapes our lives from day to day. These teachings, these doctrines, they instruct us in the service to the Lord. They guide us unto prosperity. They sustain us in tribulation. I don't like to mention this, but I'm thinking you have the same feelings as I do. One of the hardest things that we brethren face we have to bury our children, loss of life, a child. How many times did we say, yes, the kingdom will take care of it, but in the meantime, it is a hardship to bury your child. We had this happen just a few weeks ago. Very difficult. Very difficult. Maybe many of you have remembered a discourse that Brother Woodward gave and Brother Penrose here at General Convention. It was entitled, "This Thing Is For Me." And that's what sustains us. It seems to me, brethren, that we should strive to acquire as clear a comprehension of the Lord's teachings as we can. Why did the Lord supply them to us? Why did the apostle take the trouble to write them in the teachings to the churches? Why are they in the Bible? If we should we ignore them? Or even the least of them, should there be a least? Yes, brethren, we should endeavor to be workmen, as Paul puts it, not to be ashamed. And this is what he told Timothy as well. Timothy, pay close attention to what I'm telling you. We should rightly divide the word of truth, for they are the touchstones. They are the touchstones. They are guideposts to our spiritual growth, to our character development, and our activity in service. Let me ask you this question. What was the difference between Saul of Tarsus and Apostle Paul? They both had the same fleshly body. They both wore the same clothes. They had the same zeal, the same courage. They had the same determination to serve the Lord. And they had the same intelligence, yes, the same intense desire to be useful in the Lord's service. So what was the difference? The difference was, brethren, that Saul lacked a proper understanding of God's character as shown in God's plans and purposes revealed in the Scriptures. He failed to recognize the Messiah, while the Spirit-begotten Apostle Paul, he recognized the Messiah by the Lord's grace, because he was begotten by the Holy Spirit. He possessed a clear knowledge of God's plans and purposes. And this is what he's giving to Timothy. Timothy, pay attention to what I'm telling you. But Paul, in these qualities, he was channeled in the right direction by his right understanding. And what a mighty difference this right understanding brought in Paul's life. And indeed, it did to your life and to my life through the writings of Paul. Yes, we say, in normal church system today, there are many, many like Saul who are stumbling down the unlighted path of error. And you know them all. Hellfire, Trinity, the Mass, immortality of the soul. These do not beget one to a spirit nature. For error does not beget. Many of these same assemblies rate one's favor with the Heavenly Father by the abundance of their temporal possessions, by their freedom from sickness and trials and troubles. We who discern the privilege of following the steps of our Lord not only expect to have trials and testings and sufferings, brethren, but we also understand these and we understand their purpose and the need for them. Without this appreciation of the need for chastening and disciplining and testing, our faith might fail us. But you and I know, because of our understanding of the Scriptures, that sufferings and trials are not an indication that the Lord is displeased with us, no, or that he is not dealing with us, but rather these trials may well be the strong evidence of his love and his care for us. Think about it. What son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? We know all this as children of God simply by God's grace. Because you and I have been given the understanding of God's word of truth. We've been given its teachings and its doctrines. Yes, the world today shudders, trembles, looking after those things coming to pass. But we as Lord's people, we lift up our heads and rejoice, knowing that the kingdom is nigh. And soon reign for the blessing of those very same fearful ones of the world. And that is so near, even at the doors, as was mentioned earlier by Brother Bob. And so the question arises, how important are these doctrines? I think they are of utmost importance because, why? It is our understanding of these truths and doctrines are Christian because it controls our Christian lives. It controls our decision making. I want you to notice something, and you've read this scripture many a time before. 2 Peter 1:4. The understanding of these doctrines. Peter says, unto us are given great and precious promises that by these teachings, these doctrines, you might perhaps be partakers of divine nature. How much is there at stake? Think of how much depends upon our comprehension and adherence to these teachings in the Lord's Word. A promise is a commitment. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundations, and another buildeth thereupon. But every man, let each man take heed on how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundations can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Yes. If any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, or wood, hay, stubble, every man's work will be tested. Every man's work shall be manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. And so, brethren, we want to build wisely. We want to build wisely. And so we have a responsibility towards these doctrines, towards these wonderful truths, towards thy word is truth. And so we want to absorb them. We want to clarify them in our own hearts and minds. Apostle Paul writes, 1 Corinthians 4:1, let a man so account as a minister of Christ and stewards, caretakers of the ministries of God. And he says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Faithful of what? Faithful of his stewardship to these truths. What the apostle admonishes us is plainly in his respect. I'm sure you've studied this in class, Jude 3. I exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. And then Paul tells Timothy, pay close attention, Timothy. Here's another scripture for you, Timothy. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast the form, the pattern of the example of the sound words which thou hast heard of me. Yes, that lesson is for you and for me. There are many. Paul said, which approves all things, hold fast that which is good. I wasn't going to tell you a story about my life, but I think I, just for a moment, you don't mind, do you? Well, I know you do. Because he knows all about it. He was there. I come from a family of 8 children. I was the youngest. That's why I'm spoiled. But you know something? Our mother loved us all. Yes. She showed no partiality to the oldest or to the youngest, to the boys or the girls. She loved us all. And you know what that tells us? To me and especially. And so it is with our doctrines, brethren. We love them all. We love them all. And so I'm sure that you may have a special doctrine which probably stares on your life if you're discouraged or down in spirit. Another one that I often appreciate from time to time is Apostle Peter's words that there's going to be, I don't know who spoke on that at our convention, there shall be restitution of all things. Oh, Mike Lindsay. I thought it was you. Okay. But it's a special teaching, isn't it? It's a special doctrine. It stirs us up. Why? If you and I are faithful, we may have the privilege of raising up out of the graves the whole world of mankind and setting him upon the highway of holiness, so that we are obedient, that we may gain happy everlasting life. I think of the parents that have lost their children, that someday, if they're faithful to the covenant sacrifice they'd made to the Lord, they may have the privilege of raising their children up from the graves and leading them up the highway of holiness. There's a scripture I'd like to close with, and that is 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3, 4, 5, and 6. In other words, again, this is something that Paul is telling Timothy. Timothy, pay close attention to what I'm telling you. Here's what he says. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Did you ever look up the word saved in a Greek lexicon? Do it. The word saved means restored. That makes sense, doesn't it? Yes. Our Heavenly Father will have all men to be restored and coming to the accurate knowledge of the truth. Wonderful. And then he tells Timothy, he says, Timothy, there's one God, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Wonderful. What is your favorite doctrine? I suppose you might say, is it a hope of seeing the Lord as he is? I'm sure many of you will have that hope. So, brethren, as we leave this convention, remember the greatness of our Heavenly Father. Paul wrote a letter to the Hebrews telling them that all these tribulations that we have, that we pass through, he says, at the end, it yielded the beautiful fruit of righteousness. I think it's Hebrews 12:11. Brethren, it's a joy to have been here. And as we leave this convention at the end, let us remember the words of Paul. Let us pay close attention to the doctrines of the teachings of our great Creator, the greatness of the Heavenly Father, where His Son died on our behalf. And my prayer on your behalf is that maybe someday, somehow, by the Lord's grace, that we can all meet at the Lord's Supper. May God add his blessing.